Anyway, so porn. So the problem I have isn't with hate, as long as it's personal. My problem is with objectification, with an inability to perceive another as a being. And about halfway through the book, I decided I needed to go to some porn sites because of a couple stories I heard. And one of them was a friend of mine said that her brother and sister-in-law would sit in opposite corners of the room having internet sex with strangers, which really boils down, when you get past the abstraction, boils down to typing with one hand and masturbating with the other. I was thinking about this. I'm thinking, okay, let's just drop relationality out of this entirely and just think about straight sort of physicality. Okay, so we have typing with one hand and masturbating with the other, and we have a willing partner of your preferred gender. I gotta think about this. And then the other story was similar. This woman said to me that her boyfriend would leave her bed, leave their bed, and he would go to his office in their home to work, or so she thought, until one day she followed him and she saw that he was looking at pornography. And she said, the woman looked a lot like me, but I couldn't compete with her because she was silent. And so I was thinking the same thing, okay? Woman in bed, picture that looks a lot like a woman on a computer. You got me, I gotta flip a coin on this one. So I'm wondering, what's the attraction? And I started going to some websites, and I'll tell you the part of them that most amazed me, the part of each website, was the counter. Have you seen, or do you have any friends, wink, wink, who've seen the counters? It's like tens of thousands, or not tens of thousands, like 10 million hits some of those things have. 10 million hits, it's like, oh my God, there's so many. I mean, I got this website on the internet, that's non-pornographic, that's the problem, that has, and when I wrote the book, it had like 4,000 hits, of which only about 2,000 were mine. And it's like, who's going to these things? I read the other day, or no, I didn't read, a friend of mine who works for Cisco, it's a big tech company evidently. Anyway, a friend who works for Cisco said that there was a study done of their internet traffic at the Cisco place. I think 70% of their internet traffic was porn. So she said, okay, let's just drop the women out right away, and then we can also drop out all of the, they have a bunch of East Indian programmers, so we can drop them out too because they're working like 16-hour days and they don't have time to do anything. So basically what this leaves is the white males are spending 100% of the time looking at porn. And now from my perspective, which is that basically production within our culture consists of the conversion of the living to the dead, that's what production is at base, is the conversion of living trees to 2x4s, the conversion of mountaintops to beer cans, the conversion of, you know, once again, living beings into dead things. On that level, you know, I'm really glad that they're actually not working, because anything that hinders production, I'm all for it. Oh my God, can I now get sentenced to a mandatory minimum of 25 years for encouraging people to oppose production in the state of Oregon? Isn't that the deal? Or I guess it didn't pass. Okay, so anyway, I was going to these porn sites, and I got more and more confused, because I couldn't. Well, I'll just read some stuff. I guess the question I have is this. If sexuality normally creates, facilitates, magnifies, or manifests, engenders some form of relationship between the participants, if I'm attempting to interact with a photograph printed on a piece of glossy paper or displayed on a computer monitor, what or whom precisely am I entering into relationship with? With the photograph? With the women the pictures simulate? Surely not. They have no idea I exist. I have no idea if these women are even still alive. And if they are, they may very well have been asleep when I saw their pictures, or sick in a hospital, or breastfeeding a first child, or making love with their newfound partners, with men or women who listen to them, who talk to them, who interact with them as human beings. They may not. And the point, I guess, insofar as there is one, is that I'll never know. It's important to note that I would certainly be the last person to attack masturbation, which I count only as a positive good, as well as, to steal a joke from Woody Allen, a hobby. A friend of mine calls it an art form. Anyway, I guess the real point I'm trying to get at is this. What disturbed me most about all of this, more than the fact that many photos cut the women into pieces, showing, for example, just a woman's labia twice or thrice life size. There's this great book, by the way, called The Age of Sex Crime by Jane Caputi. And in this book, she makes the connection between the fact that serial sex killers, oftentimes mutilate the breasts and genitals of their victims with unnecessary hysterectomies and breast surgery, and also with the way advertising cuts women into pieces to use their body parts to sell things. Like, double your pleasure, double your fun. Give me a break. You know, it's like, what does that have to do with gum? And frankly, when I chew gum, it never happens to me. And it's just weird. You know, so she's got this great book about that. So more than the fact that the photos cut the women into pieces, more than the fact that the poses are stereotypically submissive, reinforcing the mythology of the dominant male and submissive female, more even than the degrading prose attached not infrequently to the photographs, is the photographs are so damn abstract. They're reference. They're signposts. But pointing to what? The photographs do not, in any real sense, exist. No matter how much I may wish to pretend I'm sitting across from a beautiful, intelligent woman who's opening her legs just for me, with whom I've just had a long, delicious, exhilarating conversation about the possibility and necessity of dismantling civilization, you would not believe how hot we both got when she said, "What do you think it'll take to knock out the infrastructure of Las Vegas? Here's what I think." The truth is, I'm sitting in a dark room by myself in a creaky, hard-backed, hard-cushioned chair, space heater running, CD of UFO playing rock bottom in the background, cats clustered around my feet, books and papers scattered around the floor, plastic bottle of hand lotion at the ready, sweats around my ankles, staring at a computer screen. No matter how much I fantasize, the truth is I'm still all alone. It's still my hand that touches me, nobody else's. Nobody's body but my own enters this picture, except when one of the cats tries to jump on my lap, which I discourage very quickly. But looking at the pictures, I find myself rather more sad than aroused. Not only relationality, but memory and imagination have been replaced in this scenario by flatness, by a photograph. I could foresee a day when we do away even with a hand lotion, and having already excised all senses save the visual and slightly the tactile, we go ahead and do away with the senses altogether, simply hooking up the internet directly to my brain, allowing me to think I've had an intense experience of relating to another human being, when I'm no longer related even to my own body, much less to the body of any other, and very much less so if I confronted any other as a whole. It's a great line by a Canadian lumberman. When I look at trees, I see dollar bills. There's an article in The Independent a while ago that talked about how the insurance industry, not exactly a hotbed of environmental extremism, stated that within 50 years, the economic cost of global warming stands to surpass the value of the total world economic output. Note that that's economic cost and doesn't speak to the disappearance of ice caps, oceans, rivers, forests, blah, blah, blah. And the author of the article recognized this, stating, for example, that, quote, "A basic misunderstanding of our global governors in the IMF, WTO, and so on is to believe that abstract economic theory is more important than the real world." Today, the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle carried an article titled, "Two Rookies Kill Fellow Cop Making Arrest." Evidently, the two police officers shot someone, a black man, whom they didn't know was a cop. It's unclear what they thought, other than the obvious that he was a black man in Oakland. The paper reported that the uniformed officers were overcome with grief when they realized what they had done. And what they had done was not to kill a black man, but a cop. Evidently, there's a difference. A huge one, of course. I don't see a black man, this black man, standing in front of me. I see a nigger. Rather, I don't see anything at all, but I project into the space where a black man, this black man, would be standing were he to exist, what I want or need to see. I see a tool, a live tool, if I follow the logic of Aristotle. I see someone to pick my cotton if I'm a southern slave owner. I see someone standing in the way of oil exploration if I work for Shell. I see a scumbag criminal if I'm a cop. I see somebody I must intimidate out of voting if I'm an 1870s Democrat or a 2000 Republican. So the reason, I stopped looking at porn after about a month for a couple reasons. One of them was that I was done with the research, and when I finished writing about slavery, I quit reading that too. And the other reason was I found that it was affecting my spontaneous fantasy life. That I've heard about men, especially, who will, when they see a woman, they'll undress her. And that's never been my deal. If I see someone I'm attracted to, the first thing I will think is, you know, what would it be like to blow up a dam with her? And I have experienced the undressing thing once, actually. My mom, who is sitting right there,